are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again. It is a Wednesday. That means it is a Winky Wednesday. My guest will be Mr. Nick Winkler. Before we bring him out, just want to remind everybody to subscribe, rate, review the program. We're on iTunes, we're on Spotify, we're in all the places that you can find podcasts, just like all the podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network. Tell a friend about it. If they're not a 49ers fan, let them know that they've got a podcast just for them coming daily about their team. You can find me on Twitter at BDPeacock. It's the best place to get those mailbag questions in. We will be dipping heavily into the off-season mailbag today with Nick. And you can email the show, LockedOn49ers at Gmail, LockedOn49ers.com for all of your podcast needs and other articles. And if you have a smart speaker, just say, play podcast, Locked On 49ers. It's that simple. Now let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, what's happening, man? You play a little ball today. How you feeling?
Yeah. I think I'm still red in the face. I think, it was good. It was a long time since I've been to the gym. And yeah, it was a good time. Get out there, kind of, you know, toss the rock around a little bit and, you know, made a couple shots and just looked like an old man. It was a lot of fun.
Dude, I hear you, man. The dad business is, it's no joke. And my athletic ability and just overall physical health and appearance have gone steeply downhill over the last 8 months. It's insane.
Dad bod is a thing.
It's real, man. It is real and it's powerful. It's a phenomenon.
Yeah, but, you know, my kids are kind of at that age now where we dropped them off in the kids zone, you know, and we're able to go and get a little workout in. And, yeah, we also got the intercom call, like, come get your kid because he was freaking out. But they say that always happens.
He was dunking on the other kids?
Yeah. Well, there was like 20 kids there, too. It's like, holy moly. A lot of people do this.
I've played softball with you before. I kind of know your athletic profile. You're a former fullback. Mm-hmm. How does that translate to the court?
It does not translate at all.
It just doesn't.
You don't want to be in front of me in the lane. Like, don't try to take a charge because you will be on the floor.
Oh, okay. Enforcer.
Yeah. I don't know how to stop.
Then you're Barkley.
There you go.
Everybody who's not tall and plays a power game, you're Barkley, right?
I can shoot a little bit too. Just my handles aren't very good.
It's a little James Harden, maybe.
Something to be desired.
A little Harden.
Yeah, there you go. A little Harden. I am great with the bank shots too. Anything from an angle, you know, I know how to work that backboard pretty well.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been a long time, and I'm sure I'm going to wake up tomorrow and be like, why does my shoulder hurt? Like my back and my tricep. What's going on?
Where'd that bruise come from?
Getting old is awesome.
It's great, man. It's great. I need to do a better job of fighting that off. That's my next step in life. As you know, things are insane around the Peacock household. So,
well, of course. You got a small child.
Right. Yeah. Small child. We're getting ready to move now, which is another big step. More on that later. So, yeah, so much happening. But we've got a lot of 49ers talk here and a
Gotta
lot of excited
that,
49ers fan, a lot of mailbag questions and some interesting ones I want to get to here. There's an important question that I want to start with, which is non-49ers, and it is about pizza delivery.
Oh, okay.
What is the proper amount to tip a pizza delivery guy?
I think it depends on how many pizzas.
This question from, let's see, who is it? This is from Jay, and John piped in and said, you say that as if Brian stoops low enough to accept delivery pizza.
Oh,
John
wow.
knows me well. But no, yeah. I will accept delivery pizza, but it depends what we're talking about. You bring me one of those $5 pies, it doesn't go through my body. It goes directly into the trash. I'll say that now. And how are you going to, because you got to tip $5. You going to tip $5 on a $5 pie?
I do right? $5 a pie.
Yeah, but then that's crazy to be tipping as much as the pie costs. So
right.
Anyways,
do they even deliver those? I don't think they do.
You know what? They probably don't. You're right. I wouldn't know because I
think they're all just take a pickup, carry out only.
Yeah. And so, I mean, and I live in the city of San Francisco. There's great options for pizza. So I'm definitely getting delivery and it ain't cheap.
Right.
It ain't a $5 pie when it comes to me.
It's fine. You tip $5 a pie, right?
Oh, yeah. Always $5. It's pretty standard. Yeah. It depends.
Is that total though? If he brings you like four pies, you just tip it in $5?
Well, no, maybe a little more. Maybe it depends on the trek. It depends on what kind of party's going on. Cause I'm a former pizza delivery guy myself. I don't know if you know this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I'm your boy is versatile. I've worn a lot of hats in my day.
Yeah, dude. That's impressive.
In fact, I lost my job delivering pizza because I lost my car. I wrecked my car delivering pizza. It's the last day I ever worked in the pizza business. This is back in the day before you had directions on your phone that was going to direct you to a route. So you had to know your town.
Did you like print out a MapQuest?
No. You it's in the dome. You had to know the town. You had to know the streets. You had to know what quadrant of the city. There's a big map on the wall at the pizza joint, you know. You could take a peek at it, and you kind of knew what quadrant of the city you were going to. But this is one of those quirky ones where there was a weird new subdivision neighborhood, a little cul-de-sac that I didn't quite know, and I was trying to find the address, you know. So you're looking at the address. You're looking at the houses, kind of keeping one eye on the road. And this road kind of curved around to the left slightly. So as it curved, you know, out of the corner of my eye, it's like, okay, good. Road continues. Everything's fine. And then last second, I look forward again, and it's the last house at the end of, or the second to last house maybe at the end of this little street before. So the street technically stops, but the roadway doesn't stop. It turns into like a little bike path bridge that goes over this little creek. And so there's plenty of room for a car to drive on it, with the exception of this little pole that's sticking up out of the ground. To me, it looked like a roadway. It was not a roadway. So I hit this pole, and it jacks up my car. I deliver the pizza because I was there. It's like, hey, guys, I'm here. They met me on the street, which was nice of them. Because they're like, what's going on?
That's rough. I can see why you'd stop after that.
Right, yeah. So that was the last day I delivered pizza. And after that, it was in Chico at the time. It was right before I moved to San Francisco because I was transferring to San Francisco State. And I didn't have a car after that for like 10 years because living in the city.
You didn't need one, yeah.
Not only did I lose my job, lost my car for about 10 years until I bought a new one eventually. And that was the end of my run delivering pizza. It's a great job if you're, you know, trying to get a little cash on this side.
Sure. That was a costly mistake you made there, though.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think it was just life telling me, yo, it's time, man. It's like...
Ditch the car.
You're moving anyways. You were going to have to quit this job. Let's just pull the Band-Aid off.
All right.
You don't need a car in the city anyway.
That's a good way to look at it.
Right.
That's great. I've only been fired from one job ever in my life. I was a cart boy. And I had to be there at like 4 a.m.
At a golf course.
At a golf course, yeah. And I just couldn't do it. You know, like I did it for a few weeks and maybe a month. And then I just started trading all my shifts away. And I kept going and playing golf for free. So after a couple months of that, my boss called and was like, I noticed that you have not gotten a paycheck in the last four cycles. If you still want a job here, let me know. If not, I'm going to just take you off the schedule. And I was like, okay, I guess he caught me.
Oh, dude, I don't mess with that 4:30 business, man.
No, it was nonsense. I can't do morning stuff.
I mean, if I mess with 4:30, that's because it's the end of my day.
I turned down a couple of radio gigs in my life because they wanted me to do like morning drive time and like morning traffic and news. And I just can't do it. You got to know your limits, man.
I think the right gig, you could do it. But I can't imagine my internal clock ever being okay with that.
No, I like going to bed at 6:30 or 7 at night. I just can't. Especially during the summer, you know. I don't know. Not for everybody.
I agree. Let's take a quick break here. Talk a little Niners.
All right.
Let's go to Kyle. He says, yo, Bay Area Wink. Yo, BD Peacock. Okay, hold on. I got to stop here. Hey, Kyle. I love when people tag Nick, but you can't tag him first, okay?
Oh,
let's not forget who the host is of this podcast.
He went, new favorite.
Kyle went Wink first, then me. Okay.
Kyle, that's every time, man. You'll get on the show every time.
And if you don't know, Nick will automatically like your question
as long as I'm in it.
If you tag him in it. So that's extra points.
I'm not necessarily going to read it, but I will like it.
He's the type of guy that Googles his own name. He just looks for his name in the tag and he likes it and doesn't read the rest of the tweet.
That sounds like me.
Yeah. Kyle says, I might have missed it, but do you think it's a red flag that Nick Bosa didn't play last year, or is it going to be the new norm for top flight prospects with injuries in their last year? So let me just set the table for those listeners who aren't super familiar with Nick Bosa and don't follow college ball that much. Probably the number one pick in the draft, or you know, one of the top couple of prospects in the draft. Good chance he goes number one. Would be a great fit for the 49ers, but he had this core muscle groin type pretty major injury early in the season, like 3 weeks in, and he just decided to shut it down late in the season rather than trying to rush back and get ready for the NFL draft because he knew he was coming out. And we saw that happen a couple years ago, a little more high profile
because it hadn't really been done much before. With a couple of first-round running backs, Leonard Fournette didn't play in his bowl game. Christian McCaffrey didn't play in his bowl game. Leonard Fournette did have some injuries, but both those guys were healthy enough to play, and they just bowed out. So it's a good question, and it didn't hurt Leonard Fournette. It didn't hurt Christian McCaffrey. I don't care about it, and I don't even think that Bosa was necessarily ever going to be healthy enough to play anyway. So I think that was a professional-ass move. So to me, it's like, okay, this guy's a pro. He's serious about the NFL. So I could see it even as a positive and not a negative.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take care of your product, right? And in football, you are the product. You know, you are what's important. And if you've got this core groin, like when you start talking about core and groin and injuries and you're talking about playing football, like that scares me a little bit, you know? So, yeah, take the year off, rest up, get right, you know, go out and when it becomes a job and a career for you, you know, then you do it. It's just like if I'm sick, you know, I'm not going to go to class, right? I mean, when you're in college, we're talking about college here.
It's college.
You know,
kid.
This
isn't
his job. Yeah, this is college. Yeah, he was sick. You know, he couldn't do his job. He couldn't do what was necessary of him. And if he had gone out there and hurt himself even further, would have killed his draft stock. So, of course, he made the right move.
Let me put it this way. Nick Bosa essentially crashed his car delivering pizza.
Right.
Not try to buy a new car and continue that job when
you
he knew he was moving on to better things. Right.
You could have bought a new car and like stuck it out for the next few weeks before you moved. But what would have been the point in that?
Absolutely.
You knew you weren't going to continue to play college football, i.e. deliver pizzas. So you got to move on.
100%. I'm totally down with it, man. I'm down with it. And but you know, then there's a thin line because you do want to make sure and you got to do the background. And that's another thing is like Christian McCaffrey, Leonard Fournette, those guys live for ball. Nick Bosa, he lives for ball. So you have to know the player you're dealing with. Is he like a diva? Is it like bordering on the Antonio Brown path where they're just getting weird and they're going to be a problem because they don't care that much about ball. They want a paycheck and they're trying to, you know, finesse the system. I don't think that's the case at all.
Right. I'm with you 100%. Plus, I like pedigree. You know, I like the fact that his brother does a pretty good job in the NFL right now. So you're like, all right.
It just makes every part of the evaluation a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Let's go to SF Sports Realist. He says, what's up? Appreciate the effort and work it takes to balance a job, daily podcast, and a baby. Thank you for recognizing that, SF Sports Realist. Getting real with life and sports here on the podcast with this question. He said, so he linked to Pro Football Focus's top 10 edge defenders that could hit free agency, that are upcoming scheduled free agents. He says, some will be tagged, but wanted your thoughts on A, the probability of the 49ers signing them, or B, your thoughts on which would be a good fit. And looking at the guys, this is the way a Pro Football Focus ranks the edge guys. Number one, DeMarcus Lawrence from the Cowboys. Number two, Trey Flowers from the Pats, who, going by this list, Trey Flowers is probably going to be the best one that does reach the market because, it's you know, the Pats' MO is just not to overpay guys, and they don't really tag people, but maybe Trey Flowers will be a different situation. Brandon Graham, number three. Jadeveon Clowney, they've got all the way down at number four. Most people would have him up at number one or two, at least. Number five, Frank Clark. Number six, Dee Ford. Number seven, Shaquille Barrett. Number eight, Preston Smith. And nine, Za'Darius Smith. And number 10, Ziggy Ansah.
Okay.
So there's a lot, like the Ziggy Ansah one, I've talked about this a couple weeks ago on the show and somebody asked about it, the Martin Mayhew connection, and now they've got the D-line coach from the Lions. That would make, you know, 49ers MO of bringing guys in that they know that they can vouch for. There's some sort of police action outside my house.
Yeah, I hope that's not going to your building.
No, we're clear over here. So Ziggy Ansah, you know, for all those reasons, could be a fit for the 49ers. And ideally, Ziggy Ansah would make more sense for the Niners, I think, because of those reasons. And if he is, say, the 10th best edge guy that actually hits the market. Problem is, a lot of these guys will get tagged. So maybe if he turns out to be the first or second best defensive end pass rusher on the market, maybe he gets overpaid. But the 49ers aren't in a position since they're drafting number two, they don't know if Bosa is going to be there. And there's a lot of guys they could still draft in the first round that would be more Sam linebacker types that could fit with someone like Ziggy Ansah or one of these other players. Ziggy Ansah still makes some sense, and I'd be surprised if they don't at least talk to him. And if he comes on a, you know, if he comes in at a number that makes sense, that's probably the guy I would put money on for the 49ers. But DeMarcus Lawrence, obviously, I think he's the number one guy just because he's the best pure pass rusher, exactly what the 49ers need. I don't see him getting out of Dallas, but he already has been tagged once, so maybe Trey Flowers could hit the market, a little more of a power player. then I would like, you know, ultimately, if you're just, I mean, you can't be, beggars can't be choosers at this point. You know, Trey Flowers is the best edge rusher. Go after him, you know. So he's probably going to be the one. Brandon Graham, similar story. Because here's, let me put it to you this way, Nick, because, like, if you just think about what the 49ers' current roster looks like with these edge players, they don't really need a base down guy that much.
Right. They need that edge guy.
They need the third down guy. So
got to go get the quarterback. Yeah, the bend the outside.
Right. So even, like, don't even care about base because you've got that covered. Like, it'd be nice to have a guy who could also play in you know, the Leo in the base defense. But get the guy who gets after the quarterback.
But don't overpay for him. You know, that's what I'm afraid of.
That's, I mean, I think you're going to have to. That's just the what this position's all about. Frank Clark, they're not going to mess with, I don't think, just because of, he's got some domestic stuff in his past, even though he's been clean in the NFL, as far as I know. And I don't know. I don't know if Seattle's going to let him go. Clowney's not going to make it. I don't think he's going to get the tag for sure. So Brandon Graham, Trey Flowers, Ziggy Ansah, D Ford. The interesting one to me with D Ford is if, because Kansas City, I think, can bring D Ford back, and he had such a good contract year, he would be a really great fit for the 49ers because he's exactly what we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. But if Kansas City brings back D Ford on a big number, they might have to cut Justin Houston, which would then in turn be, I think, a really nice fit for the 49ers, a veteran pass rusher that they could bring in and instantly add some juice. And then Shaquille Barrett is another name I like for the 49ers. So there should still be at least a few names on the list so the 49ers don't have to go into the draft. They've got to at least sign one guy that they know, okay, good, we got a good pass rusher here. And any of these players would instantly be the best edge pass rusher.
Well, yeah, that's just it. They're automatically all going to be upgrades, right? You said it. It's if the price is right, you bring one of these guys in.
Yeah, you don't want to overpay, ideally, even though you might have to overpay a little bit just because of the nature of the position. But
yeah, and then that price is right. You know, you just don't want to overpay a ton.
Right, exactly. Let's go to Madden 20 49ers GM. I think he got involved a couple weeks ago on and this is an important one. He said, I wonder where my listeners' heads are at sometimes. He must have been just driving down the street. He says, did you know Payless Shoe Store is actually called Payless Shoe Source?
Is it really?
I have no idea. I'm gonna trust him on this one.
Yeah. What? Did he listen to like a commercial maybe? Drove by one?
I worry about people sometimes, man. Payless Shoe Store.
I'm Googling it right now.
I've never.
It is. He's right.
I remember when I was a kid, we would hit the Payless Shoes. We would hit that hard because, you know, when your feet are growing so fast and it's just like, dude, let's get this kid.
As a parent, I totally get that.
Let's get this kid some cheap ass shoes that he's just going to beat up and get dirty in a day anyway.
I mean, you're paying $30 for shoes for a kid they're going to wear for less than a year. No, thank you.
It's been a long time since I've been to a Payless. You know what I remember, though? Do you remember the other Payless? There was a Payless drugstore.
Uh-huh, I do.
Do you remember the commercial?
No. Did it have a theme song or something that you can sing for us?
When he said Payless, the first thing that pops into my head is, Merry Christmas from Payless.
Christmas. Yeah. Oh, my mom would sing that every year.
That is one of those that will be deeply ingrained into my head forever because I heard it a ton when I was 8 years old.
Was Payless thrifty or are those different?
Oh, it might have been.
Maybe they became the same. Maybe one of them bought the other one out or something.
Yeah, something like that. For you kids that don't understand these words, Payless
and
thrifty.
Thanks a lot, dude.
At very Walgreens. Think of Walgreens.
I'm going to be singing that song for the rest of the night.
I'm sorry to put that into your head. What about the Carpeteria one?
No, what's that one?
Do you remember Carpeteria? It was like this weird 70s disco sounding goofy ass theme song. I don't know. I'm not going to put that one in your head. And actually, I'm mad that I kind of have it in my head now. So let's move on from that.
No, you got to be mad at whoever sent in the email, man.
Dude, it works. They're geniuses, the jingle people.
It's important.
And actually, so we're going to come up with our top five Desert Island albums because we need a little bit of time. We talked about it a little bit last week. So after the break, we'll get into that. And that's along the lines of some of my thinking with this. I don't want those earworms if I'm going to listen to something over and over again. So we'll get into a little bit more of that right after this.
Costanza.
Wait, what's the Costanza?
It's from Seinfeld, man.
Well, no, but what is it in reference to?
It was by Menon. Oh. He's like, I like to stick in their heads. Costanza.
Oh, God. That's amazing.
It's a jingle thing. Anytime I think of jingles, I think of Costanza.
So you know what's amazing about, because obviously Seinfeld's a great show. It's hilarious. But while it was happening, I wasn't in tune with it. So I'm in this blessed position where if an old rerun of Seinfeld is on TV, there's a good chance I haven't seen it yet. So I get to enjoy them all for the first time still.
You're very lucky.
So many Seinfelds. How long is that
show? Oh,
for
me, it would be like the 10th or 15th time I've seen that episode.
So I just let it happen naturally. And I've seen a lot of them, you know, over and over again as well.
Sure.
Some of the more popular episodes, but I don't think I've seen that episode. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh, it's a good one. Yeah, it's like it's the one with the Russian hat. I think he like leaves the Russian hat in the girl's apartment. It was like a $200 hat or something. I don't know.
By the way, there's another season of Curb Your Enthusiasm that's supposed to be coming, from what I understand.
Yeah. There you go.
Doritos Cool Ranch or Nacho Cheese? This is from Red and Gold member.
Is Jumping Jack on there? Remember those?
No.
Jumping Jack Doritos?
Oh, Jack. Yeah, I do remember.
They were like Pepper Jack flavors.
Pepper Jack. Those were good.
Those were good, yeah. No, I'm a nacho cheese guy.
Oh, really? See, nacho cheese is almost too... And first of all, this is another thing. Like, I'm getting more and more, like, uppity with my... With my snack food. And
oh, you're turning an old man. I get it.
I'm basically like, dude, I will Dikembe Mutombo that right out of your hands if you try to hand me Doritos. Like, I'm just not into eating that anymore.
What?
Yeah, I'm not a fan. Not a fan. I would go Cool Ranch over nacho cheese for sure. Nacho cheese is almost like practically vanilla when it comes to that, you know? It's like having vanilla ice cream.
Man, you are just talking nonsense right now.
I'm sorry. I can't believe
it
myself.
Like, the bottom part of the bag, too, where it's like all the little crumbles and like super cheesy. Oh. You, like, dump the bag in your mouth?
I can tell you this. My young self would be very disappointed with my older self.
I'm disappointed in you. Man. I mean, Cool Ranch are good. Don't get me wrong. I'll eat any Dorito. But, oh, it's a diss on the nacho cheese. That's, like, the staple of chips. It's like the Bud Light of chips.
Here's the other thing. Are you down with the revolution of all the insane flavors now?
Sometimes.
Like, there was,
sometimes
like,
they make sense.
Some guys I work with love to bring in all the craziest flavors and the newest stuff. And there's like, you know, weird fish flavored Japanese.
I used to work
edition.
With some of those guys. Yeah. I remember those.
Yeah,
days.
You know those guys. Remember all the weird stuff? Like,
oh, yeah.
Mashed potatoes and gravy chips. And it's like a limited time thing.
Oh, like wasabi flavored. Right. Yeah. I tasted every single one of them. I'm always open to
it's always like
chips.
You have one, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I remember Lay's was doing that thing too. It was like chicken and waffles.
Right.
And
exactly.
Country biscuits. And yeah. Loaded potato Ruffles are pretty good.
Yeah, see, that translates.
Yeah.
Some of the flavors don't translate, and it's unnecessary.
I get that.
Richard wants to know, are we seriously considering tagging a kicker not named Justin Tucker at this stage of our rebuild? If so, why? And when did we fix the pressing issues? Which Stanford did John Lynch go to? And did they have a business program there? And if so, did he sleep in all his classes? Okay, Richard, bringing the heat on
yeah.
poor John Lynch.
Yeah, damn. I love the idea of tagging gold, man. You just can't. You know what happened in the playoffs last year, right? You watched football. You saw what happens if you don't have a good kicker. You lose football games.
Ask the Chicago Bears
yeah.
if the 49ers should tag Robbie Gold.
Exactly. And they'll say, answer. Yeah, we never should have let him go. We're dummies.
The 49ers are planning on winning games, too. I know it's been a rebuild. But they don't want to continue to be rebuilding. All of a sudden, they are in the playoffs, and you've got this kicker who's wide
money.
Left, wide right. You don't want that
yeah,
to happen.
Yeah, and then you want to bring in Robbie Gold, who's the gold standard of kickers.
Absolutely. That's why he was named that.
That's right.
They knew he was going to be the gold standard.
They knew. His last name's not even really Gold. He just changed it.
Oh, Lordy. Let's see here. Any other weird ones that we want to get into?
I like weird stuff. I know there's the Five Desert Albums or Five
yeah,
Desert
Yeah, we're
going to
finish off with
albums.
The albums thing. We got some time for one more, I think. Here.
All right.
And my voice is dying, so I can't handle much more today.
I think I saw one someone talked about a fried egg on a burger.
Oh, yes.
That's delicious.
Oh,
I put a fried egg on anything.
I thought I had that one queued up. I can't find it here anymore. That was like the first question I got when I asked for. So shout out to the people that were early in on the process, and I lost that one. But a fried egg on a burger is amazing.
And so good.
We're not even talking about breakfast either. Like any time of the day. And I'm a breakfast at night guy anyway. So.
Right.
I'm sure you are too. Because you're not a morning person, right?
Dude, I will eat breakfast every meal of the day.
Absolutely. It's the best.
It is the best meal.
It's not only the most important meal of the day. It is the best meal of the day. And it should be repeated every day.
I could not agree with you more. And you know, actually at the restaurant, we do this thing called Huevos Deep. It's a secret menu. Where if you order it, you can get an egg on it.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, anybody who comes into the restaurant who heard this, huevos deep, man. You won't be disappointed. Especially inside of a burrito. Oh, it's so good.
What? I don't know if I've ever had it that way. Well, I mean, I've had breakfast burritos, but not like a normal burrito, but with an egg inside. Just like a fried egg.
Get a carnitas burrito with a fried egg inside. It gets all runny. Oh, man.
Dude, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, it is.
I'm going to hit up your restaurant very soon.
I'm like, we need to just get that on the menu, period.
Right. No, yeah, I agree. I like the huevos deep secret menu, though. It's like your animal style.
It is. It is. So you know, oh, you've been here before. All right. Or now it's going to be like, oh, you listen to the podcast. All right.
Real quick, did you hear the latest with Antonio Brown? He tweeted, he's been tweeting weird crap and just being weird for months.
And I saw that they were going to part ways. Like,
yeah, he had sort of a normalish tweet, but it is also confirmed that what we've heard about the parting of ways. He said, had a great meeting with Mr. Rooney today, talking about the owner of the Steelers. We discussed a lot of things, and we cleared the air on several issues. We both agreed that it is time to move on, but I'll always have appreciation and gratitude towards the Rooney family.
That's how it should have been from the get-go.
Yeah.
Like, all this other stuff, I'm not really a big fan of, you know? Like, obviously, I'm a fan of him photoshopping himself in a 49ers outfit, like, but it's kind of childish.
It's totally childish and stupid. It's like, you don't want to bring in a guy that's going to cause problems, but you might get yourself a way below market, amazing all-pro wide receiver. And that's the obvious upside to that. The other downside to Antonio Brown, and it looks like he's still trying to rock this because he had a photo to go along with his tweet. Have you seen the blonde mustache?
No.
Oh, dude. He's got this. I think it started.
Oh, is it like Childish Gambino? You see, he had the blonde beard going.
No, I have not seen the blonde beard. It's more like the only way I can describe it is remember when Hulk Hogan was like the bad guy? And so he had like the dark beard, but then the blonde mustache.
I do.
That's what. Yeah, dark beard, blonde mustache, terrible look for anybody on the planet, including Antonio Brown. When you see it, it'll be like, we shave it off, dye it back to its normal color.
I just looked it up. No.
Right? It looks terrible.
What is that? Maybe it's a new thing, man. We're just not hip. We're too old.
Sorry, dude. The blonde stash ain't happening, Antonio. You got to get rid of that, and we'll offer the Steelers an extra pick if you just shave that.
Yeah, just right now. Please get rid of it.
So, a good PR move, I think. And maybe the Steelers are like, dude, if you want to get traded, you're going to have to rehab your image at least a little bit. You got to make teams feel comfortable with giving us some picks or else you're going to be stuck here. That might have been part of the conversation.
And I'm not sure the blonde mustache was the way to go.
No, I would have liked a black mustache in this photo.
Yeah.
Dude, I've had some crazy hair going on in my day, so I get it. That's just a straight up bad look, though.
I've rocked just the mustache too in the past. It's not good.
You didn't bleach it though. I'm pretty sure.
No, I've bleached my hair before though a lot.
Oh yeah. Oh, I've had some crazy hair going on, dude. Sure. Punk rock days for sure.
Back in the 90s.
Oh, dude, 90s were a crazy time. Speaking of punk rock, top 5 Desert Island albums.
All right. Did you put a list together?
I've got
I
some.
We talked about it.
Let's hear yours.
Okay. So I just, I would obviously, if I really had to, it'd be like, I'd take the first 5 Pearl Jam albums, but you know, that won't be fun.
You can.
So no, I'll just take one. I'll just take one. I'll just take 10. I'll take their debut album. I got a lot of debut albums on here.
Yeah. Usually you don't get to your second album if your first album isn't good, right?
Yeah, exactly. And they're usually the best too. And some follow-up, there's been a few that have been better, but not a whole lot. For me, I mentioned it last week too. OK Computer. Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I got the Weezer Blue album on there.
Oh, that brings back some 90s memories.
I know. I could just listen to that over and over and over. I got Airborne Toxic Event, their debut, self-titled, and Rage Against the Machine's debut album. Oh. Like, that would be my 5 right there.
Okay. You're going to rage on that
album. All of those albums, the first time I heard them, were just like, what is this in my ears? Like, this, I get it. You know, like, it just changed my life. All 5 of those albums.
I don't know what year Airborne Toxic Event's first album came out, but the rest of those all came out like within a 1 or 2 year span, right?
Yeah. It was the late 90s or early 90s, mid 90s.
Mid 90s, yeah.
Like 92 through 95 or something.
Exactly. I've got some
Airborne Toxic Event's in the mid 2000s.
Okay. All right. So you had something newer.
I mean, I had some others that didn't quite make the cut that I wanted to give some honorable mention to.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I mentioned Gang of Youths last week. They've got one. It's called Go Further in Lightness. Amazing. Marcy Playground debut, self-titled. Beck Odelay.
Mm.
I got a soft side for Counting Crows, August and Everything After. It just takes me way back. Obviously, Versus, Vitalogy, No Code. I can go on.
Yeah. What's the latest Pearl Jam? Because they're still going, still making new records, right?
Yeah, Lightning Bolt came out 4 years ago. Good. It was solid. It'd probably be my 6th that I would get on there.
Are they putting out records by themselves? They're, like,
they're no, I think they're on label they or they have. Okay. I think they still have a label. Yeah.
Okay.
No, they tried to fight the man with Ticketmaster way back in the day.
I was with him, man. I was with Pearl Jam on that
fight.
Me
too.
Yeah.
You bet. 100%.
Dude,
they
trying
lost,
to buy concert tickets?
Good effort. I went and saw two shows, actually, when they were doing that. It was really difficult to get tickets.
No, but I mean, have you bought concert tickets recently?
Oh, yeah. The fees are astronomical.
Fees and just the cost of it, because it was a
There's like four different fees on there.
Yeah. We grew up at a time when it's like you make an album. And that album is what brings in the money that has the value. And then you tour to support the album and the industry is flipped 100%. So now it's like the tour is what makes you the money and the music mm-hmm. has no value. It's strange.
Yeah. If you really love a band, buy their merch. That's where they make the most money, like mm-hmm. the percentage wise.
Right.
So if you really love a band, buy their shirt, buy their poster, buy their stickers.
Absolutely. Okay. Let's,
what do you got? Let's hear it.
Oh, it was tough because also it's like, are you by yourself? Are you hanging out with friends?
Desert Island, dude. You're all by yourself.
You're all by yourself. Okay. You don't have anything. It's just you and Wilson.
Mm-hmm.
So as I mentioned before earlier in the pod, like, I don't want the earworms. I don't want the straight up pop music that's just going to.
Right. You don't want to drive yourself mad. You're on a desert island.
Have you watched Walking Dead?
Yeah.
You know that where dudes. In the hole,
yeah,
and they keep
that
playing
song
that song
over
and
over.
That's what
when
it would
Daryl
be like.
Was in there,
yeah. That's what I imagined it'd be like if you just had pop music around you all day, every day on a deserted island.
Yeah, that's called torture.
Yeah, it's called torture, and I would sort of I would avoid that at all costs. But actually, we agree on OK Computer, amazing album. Mm-hmm. That would definitely be one for me from Radiohead. I would have Fugazi Repeater in there. Got to have a little mm-hmm. punk rock, a little aggression. I know you went with the Rage. Which is a good call. You're probably going to
That's my workout album right there, man.
Yeah. Plenty of time to do push-ups and get swole while you're on the island.
When I heard Bomb Track for the first time, I was like, oh, this is the best thing I've ever heard.
But then I got to chill out a little bit sometimes. So I'm going to go Neil Young, Harvest. I'm going to go with the band Mogwai. This is tough because there's a lot of good Mogwai albums. Just slow and low, a lot of instrumental stuff, sort of mm-hmm. cinematic sounding stuff. And so you'd need to... You know, it was like for a lot of people, they would have like a Pink Floyd album. This is my Pink Floyd here would be.
Yeah, you couldn't go wrong for me having Pink Floyd either, you know?
Yeah, that would be something for an island. That kind of a vibe I think you would need
a lot of. Yeah, that's a good call.
And probably like classical would be the best thing because it would be the least earwormish and something that is like a challenging enough listen to where if you heard it over and over again, maybe you would find new things in there that interest you. You know, like when you see a great movie and you're like, oh man, I didn't notice that the first two times I saw this movie. That's why it's such a great film.
It's like the fifth time I watch Big Lebowski, I'm still seeing new stuff. Yeah,
exactly. So, and it was a tough choice with Mogwai albums because I like all of them, but I'm going to go with Rock Action, which is around 2001-ish, I think, when that one came out. And then, did I say Neil Young? Neil Young Harvest would be one. And then, if I was with friends, my honorable mention, and I don't think either one of us had any hip-hop in here, I would have a Wu-Tang album if I was with my buddies, like my college friends. And I don't know if you would want to have a dance party if you're by yourself.
Mm, that might be weird.
Yeah, that might be.
But then you could dance like nobody's watching. Isn't that a thing?
And honorable mentions, too, like your Pearl Jam was my Nirvana, like coming up. Yeah. That was like my band. And
Chronic 2001, like that just is a great album all the way through.
Some things like that. And that would be like more if you had people with you, I think.
That's
if you wanted to get the party going. Maybe you would want to have party by yourself. I don't know. Maybe you would get so weird that you would need that party vibe. So, you know what? You talk me into it. I'm going to have a hip hop record on there. I'm going to go Wu-Tang. Oh, shoot. I don't even know which Wu-Tang
album. Which one, though? Yeah. I could go with a little Ill Communication by Beastie Boys.
Oh, dude, Beastie Boys. That's a good one. Yeah. I guess the two disc album, Wu-Tang Forever, right? That would be the bonus. You get more music. I think if you've thought about this more, probably just try to get the most volume you can out of five albums. So I would like five box sets. Anyway, I think we're running out of time here. So I think we've done enough due diligence.
We lost on most
our albums.
Listeners anyways. Yeah.
And if you didn't hang on for that last segment, that's okay. If you have your top five island albums, give us
Send
a tag.
Them at us.
Yeah. Hit me on Twitter at BD Peacock. Hit Nick at Bay Area Wink.
Tag me. You'll get a like.
You'll get a like. If you tag Nick, you always get a like. Huevos deep style. Talk to you next time right here on Locked On 49ers.